All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Crush. My name is Chris Denson, your grateful host. This is a show where we talk about a lot of innovations in marketing, media, technology, and the awesome people behind them. To my right, again, is the lovely Allison Johnston. Say hello, Allison.
Hello, Chris.
You're my guest co-host. I like having you here.
Thanks. I like being here.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you
always
do.
Always. Any chance to be around you.
Tell them a little bit about yourself, just so people know who you are. We all know you're from Texas. Not we all, but I do.
You do, yes. but I've been here for quite a while. I am a recent former director of marketing of an agency. Well, several agencies, different ones,
yes,
here and there. But yeah, that's...
That is you.
Yeah.
You've done some pretty awesome stuff I know about.
I think I have.
You should be Googled. Everyone should Google Allison Johnston.
Oh,
two L's.
There's like a athlete.
Johnston with a T in the middle.
Yes.
So there we go.
T at the end.
Sitting across from me is a gentleman by the name of Drew Baldwin. Say hello, Woo. Drew.
How you doing?
Oh, how you doing? I even get that. That's great. I am doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Do you have good hair?
You do have good hair.
You know, I just got a haircut. It was a lot longer. It's too bad you can't see.
Oh.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
How long was long?
It was like bushy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was so long is kind of, I guess if you like unrolled it all.
Yeah.
It was a big pile.
Like Rapunzel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time I saw you, you had a beard. You had like a full-on beard the last time I saw you. You just switch it up every now and then?
Yeah, I like to switch it up. You know, surprise my girlfriend.
Nice.
You know.
Beards are sexy.
I can't grow one. It's kind of sucky.
You know, I can't get it to connect in the middle under my nose.
Yeah.
it's like a little like Salvador Dali kind of thing.
Well, there you go. You got a story behind it. You can melt cheese at home and tell people you've been inspired. So I'm going to read a little bit about you. Only titles, you know. But when I read your email signature, I get founder of Tube Filter, executive director of Social Media Week Los Angeles, executive producer of the Streamy Awards. How do you do it all?
Well, I attempt it all. You know, I think the good news about both the Streamy Awards and Social Media Week is that these are big events that have cycles throughout the year. So there's really intense moments. Like right now, we're in the intense moment for Social Media Week Los Angeles,
right,
which is coming up right around the corner on September 23rd to 27th. The Streamy Awards... sort of the last Streamy Awards we had were in February, right in the heart of awards season. So the way that cycle works is that they're complementary. For TubeFilter, that's just the full-time job that happens the whole time.
Right, right.
You know, we're publishing news about online video. We're producing events to help support the online video community. And
So why do you do this all, right? Like, you know, one thing I like to ask people when they come on the show is kind of what's your personal brand? Like, what's your personal mission in all this? Because you could easily taper it down, right, if you wanted to. But obviously you care about the medium enough and the communication tools enough to, you know, grow a 5 o'clock shadow for us. So, you know, what is your kind of personal take on why you do what you do?
Well, I think with everything that we do at TubeFilter, which includes Social Media Week Los Angeles and the Streamy Awards and TubeFilter meetups and the site itself, TubeFilter News, we really, at our core, our mission is to raise awareness around creative expression. So the way we've done that initially with TubeFilter News was we wanted to legitimize a certain sector of online video, which in 2008, it was a big jumble. We wanted to focus on intentional production. So professional really wasn't the right word at the time because nobody was making money.
Right.
People were they had an intentionality about their work.
That's actually a great way of putting that. I've never heard that, but you're right. It's that intention to put out something that at least is not like happenstance. Oh, look at what my cat just did. But it is like, hey, we're going to think about this before we go shoot it.
Exactly. So it's still user generated content. It's still also professional. So like from the very beginning, it's been anything from like almost pure UGC YouTuber stuff to studio produced original programs for the web. But what we did not focus on were, like what you just said, you know, the witness of a meteor landing, you know, things where that were just sort of accidental viral hits was not really what we're doing, because we were trying to focus and identify on the beginnings of an industry.
Right.
And so we were focusing on creators that were really making a commitment to this brand new medium, which was really very exciting. You know, 2008 was right around the time of the Writers Guild strike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was a perfect time for us to start TubeFilter, because there was so much talent that was out of work or not working, right? Hollywood was shut down. So we had writers and directors that were jumping into this online video thing and colliding with a lot of the creators that were there that were looking to reach even bigger
audiences. Does that kind of make it like almost like is that kind of where the spirit of rebellion comes from, right? There's always kind of like this little bit of a tension between traditional, you know, content makers and online content makers. I hate to break them up like that, but, you know, there's always sort of this, there's a little bit of a gap, right? And is that, and because you just told that story, is that sort of where you think it comes from? Like the writer's strike and that's really where it started to take off, because, hey, I'm going to keep working and keep making good stuff.
Well, it definitely was for us in TubeFilter, and I think there's still a little bit of territoriality that exists, but we're seeing a lot more collaboration because everyone benefits from that. From the first Streamy Awards, you know, to the most recent one we had at the Hollywood Palladium in February, it was always this mix of traditional entertainers and the sort of new media entertainers and creators and news reporters and personalities, but they both all share this enthusiasm and passion. And I think you're right about that rebelliousness, because there's something very attractive to the uncensored landscape of online video.
Well, it was almost like the fuck you movement, right? It was, to pardon my French. But no, it was like, all right, well, you know, it's like you said, it's kind of like celebrating creativity, and it's going to exist and grow, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, it's like indie music. I mean, there's a total indie feel to a lot of online video, but then there's like a total culture unto itself,
right,
particularly on YouTube. I mean, we had this new category at the Streamy Awards called First Person Series, which was really pioneered on YouTube. I mean, this is like the vlogger. This is like the Philip DeFranco type
of
first person series, direct to camera, where you address your audience directly. And that really doesn't exist anywhere else.
Well, that's, I mean, that actually touches on something really cool. Just, I mean, in terms of the Streamies, because one of the notes I had was just kind of like, it is a mashup of people, right? Like you almost don't know what brand of person you're going to get. Like if I go, you know, if you go to any other award show, like it's pretty much the same sea of people. Here it is very much, it can be the guy who's, you know, in his mom's basement in Tennessee somewhere, and, you know, an executive at one of the major studios. You know, I guess the question is kind of like, how do you meld those two? And like, is there like, what is the tone like in the room?
Well, that was really interesting for us. And it was a challenge because we're trying to build a mainstream show and with a mainstream platform to showcase online video. But when you collect niche groups together, it becomes kind of weird. But, you know, that was really
like this
cool
show.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, we had Vern Troyer, but then we had Larry King, but then we had Toby Turner. You know, I mean, it was like, and everyone was like, whoa, when would this ever happen? I mean, that's what's kind of cool about online video on the internet. But it worked out really well, actually. And there's so much programming because there's moms and then there's gamers, which are huge. And trying to contain it all is a huge challenge. But I think where else are you going to see this sort of well, I think there's a, I mean, the Grammys, maybe American right. Music Awards, you know, it's you'll see like country people, like country
but those,
music.
But those have been around for so right. long, right? Like yeah. those have been around for years, where the streaming is what, 4 or 5 years old now?
Yeah.
So, you know, and to bring all these people together, I think there's also like a natural curiosity from, you know, kind of both sides of the table. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, it, what is the opportunity in the other space, right? Like if I am a YouTuber, like, okay, maybe there's an opportunity for me in the Hollywood and vice versa. Or Hollywood's trying to figure it out. And I guess that kind of goes into a next question. It's kind of like, I guess, how do you feel like that the mainstream Hollywood has adopted to web video yet? Like, has it been figured out? You know, there's a lot. There's so much conversation that happens around it. That's why I stuttered my way through that whole that whole question.
I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think that it's a path that's being forged together.
Right.
I mean, take a look at Maker Studios and what mm-hmm. It has accomplished in the last 5 years.
Right.
Right. And when you're talking about an entertainment media company, just you have to remember, like, this is 5 years. I mean, this yeah. isn't a lot of time. And there's just been so much that's, you know, from when they first created Maker Studios to when they first got that sort of round, and then they got the huge investment from Time Warner.
Right.
And then now they're expanding overseas, and they're doing it with executives from traditional media, and it's really starting to look like a media company that's yeah. unlike, I mean, that's like, you know, any other traditional media company in the way that they're aggressively growing, or Awesomeness TV, what they were able to do.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Now, well, it's almost like you've got this young genre, and you know, it's like, and then you get the helping hand from a seasoned business person, right? You got the creative right. mm-hmm. person who's like, ah, I just made, you know, I made some really awesome stuff, and then you've got these executives who like know how to run a business.
Yeah, actually, that's a really, really good point. Because
thank you, I've been practicing.
No, I mean, I think that we're now finally at a stage where, business minded people who are passionless. With regards to the creativity, right? Who
right.
can think mm-hmm. of this in partnership? That's finally happening, and we're seeing that. We're seeing, you know, the YouTube Partner Program did amazing, opened up doors in a way to create professional group of online video creators, right? Because prior to that, there was no way to monetize YouTube videos,
right?
And that was, I think, the beginning of the professionalization of this industry, the YouTube Partner Program. But now there's even more and more and more opportunities. And you take an example like Smosh and what they are as an institution. I mean, first they were just passion-fueled creators, but they were able to expand their partnership with Alloy.
Right.
Their partnerships allowed them to really build out. I mean, now they have magazines at yeah. Barnes & Noble, which is weird because I thought print media was supposed to die, right? So now
exactly.
you can buy a Smosh magazine, which is, to me, well, insane.
But I think that's also a good point, too, because you look at, like, what if someone creates a brand, that brand can exist in multiple formats, right?
Right.
And people think, oh, no one's going to watch TV anymore because of online video. But when you look at one of the conversations we had earlier was kind of like the progression of media, like from radio to TV to, you know, and movies and so on and so forth. None of the other genres died, right? Movies didn't go anywhere. People kept going to movies. Radio didn't die. And, you know, if you look at statistically, viewing is up across all platforms, you know, in most cases. But to your point, like to launch a magazine is gutsy. But, you know, do you know if the magazine actually has done well?
Oh, yeah, you can't get it anywhere. It's sold out really? All the time. I mean, Smosh has built such a huge following. The fans are so rabid.
Right.
And I think that's part and parcel with the nature of online video and that interactivity and what we're talking about, that kind of first person series and that
yeah.
sketch, that approachability. I mean, Smosh, you know, they put on a show, but they're also individuals that are characters. Like you go to conferences like VidCon and you know, people are mobbing them to chat with them, to interact with them, see them in person. So that's a great way of taking a brand and really, you know, finding new ways to give those audiences more stuff to work with.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm secretly videotaping this conversation. Will I win a streamy?
Well, I mean, that's first you have to submit. And,
submit to me. No, yeah. Really, what is it, like, what's the criteria, right? What are the criteria? Because when you look at the plethora and see a video that's out there, like, what is the criteria you look at and go, all right, you guys get to, I mean, obviously people submit, but, you know, what are sort of the criteria?
Yeah, so first and foremost, people have to submit, so they have to take themselves seriously. So that's the first stage right there, right? If you are just messing around, I don't think you're going to take the time and sort of pony up the resources to be seriously considered. So first and foremost, you have to consider yourself a professional. And so that actually
does. So I'm out.
So you're gone. You're out.
Okay.
So sorry. So shut the camera off. This interview's over. No. And then after that, you know, there's certain types of content that we don't allow. Anything that was originally aired on TV. Anything, you know, there's some sort of, we have like censorship and decency in terms of like, right. You know, it has to be of a certain professional quality.
Right.
And then beyond, and then after that, then we sort of dice it up into terms of like, is it a comedy? Is it a drama? You can't submit something that's clearly a drama for a comedy.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we also honor individuals like actors and directors and writers.
Yeah.
At that point, then what's cool about the Streamy Awards is that there's like a public fan component, and then we have our Blue Ribbon panel.
Okay.
And those two work together really to produce the nominee list. So on the fan side, fans and audience are encouraged to submit as well.
Right.
And, you know, we tally up all those submissions. It happens on Twitter. And that actually goes into determining one of the nominees. Then the Blue Ribbon panel reviews the entire, you know, the panel.
Not to be confused with Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, that's not a different panel. No, yeah, it's not a Pabst Blue Ribbon. It is a Blue Ribbon panel.
Okay.
Blue Ribbon, Pabst.
I'm just saying, you know.
It's an arduous process. I mean,
yeah.
The Blue Ribbon panel is an honor, but it's also a lot of hard work.
How many hours do they spend just sitting there going through footage and probably half of it's crap?
It's like, yeah, how many hours does it take to throw a dart at the submissions? No, there's a lot of work combined. I mean, not like, you know, the way it works in most academies, like we modeled our voting process after a number of major award shows. Actually,
okay.
Our partners are Dick Clark Productions, who helped to produce the Golden Globes and the American Music Awards, and they had a lot of familiarity with this process. But, you know, you basically divide and conquer.
Right. What was the journey like? I mean, that's awesome because, you know, to know that behind the glitz or whatever, behind the event, is that there's a real process behind such a newish, you know, creative form that it's being rewarded. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think we were kind of scared out of our minds, to be honest with you, because we had no idea what was going to come out on the other end. You know, and we didn't know if this was going to, you know, we were just waiting to see what the output was. And there were actually a lot of surprises. There were a lot of interesting shows and people that weren't included and that were not included. There were shows that we had never heard of.
Right.
You know, and we're Tube Filter. I mean, we're supposed to try to know everything. I mean, we're striving to be the authority in online video.
So you can't possibly like
no, but there were like shows from Venezuela
right.
that were just like mind blowing,
right.
You know, and that was really cool for us to discover that too. And so the Streamy Awards was a great discovery platform, not just for everyone who was involved in terms of the nominees, but also the fans and the producers ourselves.
Yeah.
Like we really learned a lot. And that was great because there's no real place to collect all of this and funnel it in. I mean, you know, Tube Filter, we write about the news. We're not really a curation
right.
site. The Streamy Awards, you know, we strive to honor the highest excellence in online video. So it rises to the top. And that fan component, too, is really, really important because then the audience has a very important voice in shaping the awards and, you know,
Well, it's the most interactive video platform. Like,
yeah.
So, and then... one thing I love about the Streamies is that it's also kind of a lesson in perseverance, right? You know, like you, coming from Tube Filter into the Streamies, and then I know year one was a smash, right? Like it was incredible. Year two was a little bit more difficult, and then you took a year off, right? Is that so? Like, just as much as you can, kind of walk us through that journey, just from a you know, almost like an internal standpoint. Like, what do you do? You
from
know,
the very beginning.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So just like that whole journey, you know, it's kind of it was up and down, but it's like it's still very, very successful. So we
started Tube Filter, and maybe about 6 months later, we're like, let's do an award show. Why not, right?
Like most entrepreneurs, you're like, oh, yeah, let's, and also.
Yeah, let's just expand horizontally. Why not?
Exactly. Right? Let's just do it.
There's only three of us.
Let's write a book.
Let's, you know, yeah, let's just, you know, let's just create a worldwide company, you know, why not?
Right.
You know, I got a GoDaddy account. So. So why not? We didn't know what we were getting into. I had never produced an award show before in my life, you know. But we were lucky because of the Writers Guild strike. So we just had some really good people, and they had, like, you know, nowhere else to go, I guess. Right. So on the first year, I mean, we had, of course, Felicia Day, who was the darling of the industry. But then Neil Patrick Harris shows up, and Lisa Kudrow shows up, and Joss Whedon shows up, and we're like.
I gotta say, I was surprised.
They will come. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, damn. No, right?
I gotta say,
this
like,
is easy.
This is easy.
Right?
Right.
Oh, so, this is how you, this is like, you know, our first company we ever started. It's like, oh, so all you have to do is like want something and it just happens. Is that, so that's why people aren't successful. They just don't want it. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, so we're very naive approaching that. And I think what we did was, it was such a success the first year. That there was a lot of pressure for the second year, not just on us, but also on the nominees and the participants. So when we came into that second year, there was a lot of ambition. There was a lot of people involved. And for many people, this was their chance. This is their only chance to get exposure. I mean, there wasn't that kind of infrastructure yet. There were no MCNs at that time. Mm-hmm. There were no multi-channel networks. There weren't managers. There weren't publicists. This was it. So when you had that moment on stage, you really wanted to grab the attention. And what it became was like, it really was like overwhelmingly attention grabbing.
Right.
You know, this was internet at its purest right now. And I think a lot of people were shocked at the diversity of content and taste. That, you know, that's on the internet. But I mean, it was a pure internet show. I mean, we gave them complete license. But I think what we realized at that moment was like, we need to partner with some seasoned veterans because this was getting huge. I mean, we had big sponsors. We had a huge platform. All eyes were on us.
Sure.
And, you know, we needed to work with somebody who had some experience. And so we teamed up with Dick Clark Productions, who, like I said before, you know, our seasoned veterans. They produce every single variety show and award show you could think of.
Yeah.
And that partnership was great. And so what we did was we stopped and started to try to rethink the Streamy Awards and how to really position this as a mainstream show, like a piece of entertainment in of itself. And we were very, very successful with that. I mean, with the last Streamy Awards, we had 700,000 live viewers.
It's amazing.
And, you know, within 4 or 3 months afterwards, we had over 6 million VOD on the show, which was great since we didn't really market it because the way the show is built, you know, everyone who's involved is marketing. It's a real social show in that way. And so that really, really rethinking how to produce a mainstream show and really, really amp up the type of programming that was native to online video and to YouTube was really important. I think initially we just kind of modeled it after the Emmys.
Right.
And that wasn't a great match exactly. I mean, this last year.
So you guys basically had a lengthy journey finding your voice. Right?
Yeah, it was like a reboot. Yeah. And that, you know, because of that mainstream appeal, you know, we were able to bring on our headline sponsor, which was Coca-Cola.
Yep.
And that really enabled
Which goes great with Vanilla Ice, I hear.
Yeah, the Vanilla Ice, that was also another thing where I was like, all right.
I got to say, that was actually, to me, it was one of the peaks of the show.
It was gutsy, though.
It was, exactly.
What? But I was like, come on. This is the internet. It's like, you know, that was part of it, like, last year. Like, let's not take this too seriously. I mean, this is an important award, but it doesn't have to be stuffy.
Well, it has to speak to the genre, right? Like, it has to speak to, like you said, the fans. And there is a little bit of campiness that you won't find in any other awards platform. And one of the things, we talked a lot of brands, a lot of agencies on the show, but that's always one thing, is like always being authentic to the audience.
Right.
You know, if you got too stuffy and everyone was in bow ties and, you know, you had, you know, really, really pretty, you know, trophies and those kinds of things, which your trophies are awesome, by the way. But no, it's like you have to give the audience something of what they're used to and tonally, at least.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think that when some of the more traditional shows try to do and integrate that kind of campiness, it doesn't really work.
Right.
And so we have an opportunity here to do something really cool. I mean, I think the VMAs do a fantastic job in,
yeah.
I mean, it's insanity over there. But
are you guys going to have Miley Cyrus this year?
Well,
I may have touched on something.
We'll see.
All right, I'll leave that one alone. I won't even edit it out, though. I'm going to leave it up as a teaser so people will keep coming back to our show to see what's going on with Miley Cyrus and the Streamies. One more Streamies question, then we can switch over to your other job. But as you mentioned earlier, like how the industry changed and, you know, there weren't managers, there weren't multi-channel networks and so on and so forth. As this industry continues to grow and evolve at a really rapid pace, like how do you keep up in terms of how you program it, how you discover, you know, new talent or discover existing talent that you just don't know about? Like, how do you stay on top of the change in the ecosystem by which you're programming around?
Well, I think that's what's great about having TubeFilter, because we're constantly, I mean, this is our mandate. Is to,
I've been on a mandate before.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
How'd it work out?
I'm married now to a woman. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Oh really? Give us I'll drive. Oh no, I'll drive. No, I'll drive.
I'll drive.
No, okay, let's watch.
Fist fight.
Please go ahead. No, you.
Yes.
That could be tough.
It could be.
So our mandate is just to stay on top of everything that's happening in the online video industry and understand all the new things that are happening. So, for example, we are just going crazy around Vine right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vine is popping off. And I think it's actually worth talking about a little bit, only because you just thought that the platforms were done.
I was like, 2012, exactly.
I was like, we got Facebook, we've got
YouTube,
you know, we've got Twitter, Instagram, great, okay, they got in last minute. It's closed, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, come
boom,
on.
Boom, Vine. I mean, the guys on Vine are amazing. I mean, we were watching some Viners, you know, raise a toast for their 3,000th fan on Vine.
Right.
And then 5 weeks later, it was a million.
Wow. That's crazy.
Right? And you know, that's a testament also to the way that Vine programs, they're featured content. I think it's very smart how they do that. But, I mean, we've seen a lot. Now, actually, I think what I thought was really interesting about Vine is that it's allowing some YouTubers to reinvent themselves, especially if they're pigeonholed in a certain identity. Like, Daystorm, his comedian, is amazing on Vine. I mean, he's really – and he's got a little crew, and those lessons learned in collaboration.
Minus his cameo in the Harriet Tubman sex tape video.
Oh yeah.
You see?
Oh no, that was pure comedy.
It was pure. It was definitely pure. Even speaking of Vine, like you mentioned earlier, because Vine's not the first video platform to pop up, right? Like especially like micro video. There's been a lot of attempts, a few. How does one cut through the clutter? Because there's probably 10 Vines, right? How does Vine itself kind of rise?
It's funny. I think it's totally dependent on the creative talent that embraces it.
Right.
And then that becomes self-perpetuating.
But I feel like it's such an organic process. Like, you know, I signed up for Twitter. I probably didn't use it for 2 years, right? I was like, let me just see. Okay.
Can you use Twitter? Can you use video on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Right? So, but I mean, Instagram has introduced video, but I don't see it taking off in that same way. There's a lot of reasons for that, which I won't go into now because we have an entire panel dedicated to it at Social Media Week, Los Angeles.
Perfect segue.
So, yeah, we're actually teaming up with a group called Colab, and are you know, a multi-channel network for Vine creators. And I don't, if you read Mashable or any, like, even BuzzFeed, they always have a video of the top Vines mashup.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's basically they put those out. So they'll sign Vine creators and basically are able to monetize them on YouTube in these mashup videos.
That's crazy.
It's really kind of interesting. Mashup, I mean, like, it's just a compilation of top Vines of the week or top Vines of the month.
Yeah.
And those actually... then media picks up, like TubeFilter, Mashable, BuzzFeed, and then you know, redistributes.
Right.
And I think that also helps a little bit. So they're going to be talking about, I mean, they have so much insight on how this is working. And now Vine creators have up to 3 million followers. It's absolutely insane how fast it's exploding. And I don't know if you've used the platform for your own entertainment, for your...
I toyed around with it.
Definitely don't, because my business partner is like, he's got to put it down.
Yeah.
You have to put it down. It's like just one more goldfish, one more goldfish, you know.
So what is your role as executive director of Social Media Week? What are you responsible for?
Yeah, so first let's talk a little bit about what Social Media Week is, because I think that'll help. Social Media Week is... it's a worldwide event, first and foremost. It's in 9 cities simultaneously. And those cities are all over the world. Berlin, Bogota, London, Mumbai, Sao Paulo, Torino, Toronto, Chicago, and then Los Angeles. And TubeFilter is basically the producer of the event in Los Angeles. So we're all connected, but we... don't have very much to do with one another,
right?
But it's all happening once, so there's this sort of synergy of attention around social media and the Social Media Week brand that we play off of and create a global event. So as the executive director, my job is to put together the program and really create and ignite conversations around social and how it's impacting our lives, right? How is our culture impacted by social media?
Yeah.
Economic, social, community, entertainment. How is social media and more loosely technology and entertainment really transforming the way that we're living?
Do you think social media is the nucleus of, you know, our day-to-day experience now?
I think it touches everything. You know, I mean, social media is so much part of our life now that it's funny, because I'm like, okay, so how do we program a conference about social media? What doesn't have a social media component? I mean, from advertising and marketing at its core.
Right.
But, you know, our themes include community, civic engagement, social action, innovation and entrepreneurship, entertainment, celebrity, lifestyle, culture. And we're finding that it's really easy. You could probably talk about everything.
True.
We have this list of like the top 25 innovators in social media. It's called the Social 25. We just put it out.
Nice.
And, you know, NASA's on it, right? Because with the Curiosity and the Mars rover, like the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they're here based in the LA area.
We had Dan Goods on the show. You should talk to that guy. He's awesome. He's JPL's visual strategist. He turns all their scientific concepts into art exhibitions.
Yeah, visual strategist.
Yes, I know, right?
Right? Doesn't that sound like such a BS term? Like, what do you do? Well, I'm a visual strategist. You're like, oh, come on, what's that?
Seriously,
it's like,
come on.
It's like, come on, you're not a rocket scientist. I'm like, well, actually.
Technically.
I'm a visual strategist at NASA.
Exactly.
Then it's like, oh, damn.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face right there.
Let me finish at NASA.
Yeah, you can say anything at NASA. You could be like the lunch lady at NASA, though. Well, come on in.
I'm a calorie distributor.
I'm a nutrient distribution strategist at NASA. All right, that, we just came up with the title of this episode.
Oh, yeah, NDS. Yeah. We have a Facebook page.
No, so I mean, from a programming standpoint, you're right. It's gigantic, right? Is it gigantic? Like, what part of our lives doesn't this touch? I guess when you go to each of the 9 locations, right, there is a specific, I don't know, brand of engagement. I think, obviously, totally. LA is very entertainment focused and, you know, industry specific. So how, you know, what is the programming look like? Is it over the four or five days?
Five days. So it's September 23rd to 27th. And you're right. I mean, entertainment is a really huge asset and a distinctive asset for Los Angeles. But really, we like to look at it more as the creative community and not just traditional notions of entertainment. So this also includes this new innovation and entrepreneurship perspective, which is Southern California tech scene. So, I mean, you have someone like Snapchat is based in LA. It's right there in Venice. You have fashion blogs. You have Nasty Gal. You have a real interesting alternative to Silicon Valley, which is happening here, which is taking advantage.
Silicon Beach. It's like the whole, all the buildings in Santa Monica, Yahoo, Google have all been taken over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a tenement.
Yeah, we're speaking of which, we are, the event is actually at this place called Rock Santa Monica, which is where our headquarters is. It used to be a Google headquarters until they moved down to Venice. And now it's home to 100 startups. Like, including Uber. I mean, like, big
It's like
talk.
A hostel for geeks.
It is really cool. And that's a great way of putting it, because, like, I take all my meetings really by just walking around. It's like, hey, what's going on? How are you? You know, and there's totally people with, like, the full Euro backpacks walking. No, just kidding. It was really
funny. It's like a walking stick. Where are you going?
Pilgrimage. Going to a pilgrimage.
Are you coming?
Pilgrimage to Palo Alto. No, but I think, so it's really, really cool. So we're in the heart of this 100 startup hub in, you know, 6 blocks from the ocean. It's really a great locale, and we're doing a lot around innovation and entrepreneurship. I can tell you a little bit about what we're doing that day. So you have Mark Suster. You know, he's runs
Upfront
Ventures, but also was an investor in Maker Studios and a serial entrepreneur.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice work, dude. And then Roger Berman, who he is the president of Rachel Zoe, but he was also part of Recognition Media, which is the Webby's and Internet Week New York, and he invested in Who What Wear, which is all based, you know, it's all part of the LA startup and tech and innovation entrepreneurship scene. And we're doing some cool stuff with Uber and Surf Air about disruption in the sharing economy.
Nice.
And then we have this startup competition where actually
– It's the crowdfund, right?
Yeah, the crowdfund XLA. So basically
– Crowdfund XLA. I'm going to plug it. Just crowdfund XLA.
XLA.
Yeah, not crowdfund, but it is fun, but crowdfund XLA. And so, you know, Launchpad LA generously donated a $100,000 prize to these startups who are competing, and there'll be the final lightning round of the final 10 will be at Social Media Week.
That's really cool.
Someone will go home with, you know, they'll be basically accepted into the Launchpad LA class.
So where can people find out more about Social Media Week Los Angeles?
Easy, smw.la.
All right. Is there a Twitter handle?
SMWLA.
Everything's SMWLA.
Yeah.
So I want you to finish this phrase for me. Just try and take all this emotional buildup we've accomplished here and finish this phrase. Innovation to me is we're not going to edit out the silence either. Don't worry. This is what I do to everybody. So
no,
don't.
I like the question. It's about being true. So think that what that means is if you really want to innovate, you just need to passionately invest in those true thoughts that you have. You know, I think as soon as you try to do something, it's already not innovative.
Right.
You know, if you try to do something or emulate something or do something that you think people will like, you know, that kind of approach is all backwards. I think it really is something that emanates from within.
Right.
And because every single person's different, if you're true to yourself, then it will automatically be new and innovative.
Yeah.
Because every single person is unlike any other person that existed before.
Right.
So, you know, I really think it's about, you know, really kind of having the being brave enough to really not worry about success or the outcome or the output and just do something totally new and innovative.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quote
about truth.
Robert, who's also one of our co-hosts and the co-creator of the show, he usually asks our guests like for our favorite quote, but you just reminded me of one that is kind of like, I'm going to botch it, but it's, don't try to be the next somebody, you know, you're already the first you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're already the first you that ever existed. So you have an opportunity to be innovative in exactly who you are, exactly to your point.
Well, I think that's what it's at the core of like all the stuff that we do, like Streamies,
yeah,
Social Media Week LA, Tube Filter. It's really about celebrating those who just do and yeah, don't care. And that's what's so appealing to me personally about online video and about social media is that it creates opportunities for people to just sort of truthfully express themselves because it's just so wide open.
Right.
And it's right there. And the access, it's like you can access people and find people that mm-hmm. will embrace you and that you can embrace and interact with that, you know, 10 years ago that couldn't happen.
Yeah, I say it all the time. I talk about how social media to me is all about recognition, right? Like being acknowledged for just even if it's like, if I'm on Allison's Facebook page and I say, hey, and I see that picture from her birthday, and maybe I missed the birthday, but like, hey, happy birthday, or, oh, nice new car. Congratulations on in your case, is like good work. You know, yeah. It is that, mm-hmm. that form of acknowledgement that kind of resonates with everybody. And it's so immediate. It's like that immediate, like, okay, I put this out there. I'm going to get feedback. Unfortunately, we have no feedback on this show yet because no one listens. But but yeah, that's where you come in. No, we're doing okay. But I do want to thank you for coming by. This has been awesome.
Yeah, are we out of time already? That went so fast.
Well, no, you packed it full of golden nuggets. I mean, do you want to say something else? What else you got?
No, I'm good.
I have a question.
Oh, sure, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't see how we can not ask when we have the executive director of social media.
Let's do it.
Here.
Oh God.
No, do you? What do you think of the Twitter IPO this morning?
You know, that's really interesting. I think.
Good question, though.
Thank you.
I I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And Twitter, you know, they, I mean, talk about a company that really didn't have, I mean, I shouldn't go on the record on saying this, but I really didn't see the business model initially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was a passionate idea and it just took off and people just went with it. You know, they got investment. Maybe there was a master plan the whole time.
Yeah.
Though it doesn't feel like it.
I don't think so. I think they figured it out.
You know, it feels like we're onto something. I don't know what it is, you know?
Right.
Lightning in a bottle, but what? And I think that in of itself had value. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm interested to see where that goes.
Everybody's predicting it'll do much better than Facebook, so.
It's a big prediction.
Which is so interesting because Facebook actually has, it seems to have more opportunities for advertising. We'll see. I mean, like Facebook has a huge opportunity to like create an entire like new idea of a world with its own currency. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works out.
Well, they've been talking about that for a while, but yeah, that's a whole other show. any other questions, Allison? What else you got?
No, I think I'm set.
You sure?
Thanks.
I can see the wheels turning,
but
yeah, good job. Do you have any questions for us? You don't have to. There's no pressure. Because I probably have no answers. I was just, you know, it was kind of filler.
Well, I mean, I guess the only question I would have is I'm always curious to learn when anyone's doing something like show like this, like where the idea came from and what's the most rewarding part about what you're doing with your show?
You know, I think one of the things I've always kind of just been obsessed with is good ideas, you know, and how they work. You know, I think good ideas come in dime a dozen and great projects come in dime a dozen. And, you know, but it is the process and the reasoning behind it, like having a real depth to why you do what you do. Like when you talk about where Tube Filter came from, you know, as a means of celebrating this new generation of creative talent, like that's a really meaning. It wasn't a business play, right? It wasn't like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool. We can make a lot of money if we did X, Y, and Z. So, you know, we look at, but everything, and it's meant to sort of provide some inspiration to the, you know, a peer-to-peer, you know, find like, oh, I know that person, like, and I didn't know that was the story behind it. Or it's aspirational. And you go, okay, that's sort of the roadmap to get there. And really look at, you know, the process. You know, when we talk about innovation, innovation crush is like, the crush is like, A, you're crushing it. Like, you're doing an awesome job at it. B, it is, you know, we have an affinity or we have a crush on you because of how you've been innovative. And that's why I like to ask that question. Innovation to me is because it's so vastly different depending on who you ask. But it all kind of leads to the same, you know, end destination. So, yeah, that was.
Wow, Chris.
Sorry for my tears. Yes, so I'm going to close now. Is that okay? You good?
You have my permission.
Thank you. This has been another episode of Innovation Crush. Thank you, Drew Baldwin, for stopping by. Where can people find you?
You can find me personally at Drew P. Baldwin.
Drew P. Baldwin?
Drew P. Baldwin.
Okay, what does the P stand for?
That is a challenge I'm going to send out to your listeners.
Oh, there we go.
If you know my middle name, if you can figure it out, it's not easy to guess.
Oh.
Just tweet it at Drew P. Baldwin.
Oh, awesome. All right.
You'll get a retweet at least.
There we go.
Maybe even more. Yeah, definitely come to Social Media Week. It's going to be a blast.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Talk to you guys later.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.